23, we've been looking at verse 4. Thy rod and thy staff, they, the rod and staff, comfort me. We've looked at the rod. We saw last week concerning the staff that is used to guide the sheep. The Lord, of course, guides us. Is used to redirect, which is part of guidance, redirect the sheep. The Lord, in His love, redirects our paths. Again, sheep, by nature, will wander, go the wrong way, way that is would be destructive to them. And we are sheep, and the Lord redirects us. And we see that the staff was used to make contact with the sheep. And then, of course, on the end of that staff, you have the crook, which was used for a couple of things. It was used to rescue the sheep from perilous situations. Perhaps a sheep would fall into a pit or a ravine or get stuck in a thicket or in a stream. And the shepherd would use the end of the staff, and he could lift the sheep from those situations. But in doing so, he would draw the sheep to himself. And of course, the Lord does that for us. Many verses in the Bible that speak of the Lord's deliverance. The Lord delivers us time and time and time again. He's delivered us more than you and I realize. He delivers us from not only the situations that we get ourselves into, but He delivers us from getting into those situations. Even more than delivering us from the situations. He delivers us from getting into those situations. And when He does, He always draws us to Himself, draws us near to Him. And if we would just learn that lesson, if we just stay near to Him, we wouldn't get ourselves in a lot of the situations that we get ourselves into. And it doesn't take long. It can just be a matter of seconds. You wander down the wrong path, and you could be in big trouble in a hurry. And the shepherd, again, he just draws us to himself. So the psalmist says, in this valley of the shadow of death, again, a shadow means that something's nearby. Death is nearby. It always is. This life is a shadow of death. There's a lot of interpretations about the shadow of death, and really I believe almost all of them apply. But the problem is that most people limit the shadow of death to their one interpretation. But again, I believe almost everything I've read could apply to the shadow of death. So it's not just put this in a box. I believe it entails our life. This life is the shadow of death. Death is always nearby. But we have the Lord's presence, and the Lord's presence gives us comfort. Then notice verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And I believe this is still in the context of the shadow of death. In the shadow of death, life in general, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So that speaks of the abundant provision of the Lord. Again, the character of this provision is really seen in three words. Thou, that's God, that's the shepherd. So this is something marvelous. The next would be the verb preparest, ongoing. He's always preparing. And then the next would be me. Thou preparest me. Thou preparest for me. Thou preparest a table before me. Thou preparest for me. That's always true. It's always true. No matter what our condition is, He prepares for us. It's always so. So if we believe that, and I do, and I'm sure you do too, then it looks to me that we should always be looking. If we know in this situation He has something prepared for me, if we know that, and whatever He prepares is what we need, it's what's best for us, and it's wonderful, it's just common sense that we would look for it. So it's something that truth needs to always be before us. So notice thou, the Lord who is our shepherd, thou, the one who goes with us in the shadow of death, thou. That identifies the performer of the act. No one else has to prepare something for me. I don't have to prepare something for myself. Thou preparest. So He's the performer of the act. Being the performer of the act, is there anyone who can prevent Him from preparing for us? Is there a situation that would prevent the Lord from preparing for us? Someone says, well, yeah, if we're living in sin, He's not going to prepare something for us. Oh, but He does. He prepares forgiveness for us. I mean, no matter what the situation, He's the performer of this act. No situation can prevent Him. No situation is bigger than thou. So He's the performer of the act, just as He is all through this psalm. It's He maketh, He leadeth, He restoreth, He leadeth. Again, He's the performer of the act. Thou, that's holy, pure, and perfect God. Thou. And then we have the pronoun me. Me. That's the one for whom the act is performed. So holy, perfect, pure God performs something for me. That makes it wondrous. That makes it amazing. That God would for me. Again, those three words, thou for me. Thou for me. That's grace. That's always grace. That's mercy. That's the goodness of the Lord. Thou for me. Thou for me. As Romans 8 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. So, for me. So it's a He prepares a table for me. So this is a personal table. A personal table for me. For foolish sheep. We are foolish. We do a lot of foolish things. We do things that endanger us spiritually. But thou for me. He prepares a table. So this table is for foolish sheep. It's for dirty and helpless sheep. You can't go through a day without contacting defilement from this earth, from this world. It's not possible. You say, well, if I had just stayed in bed all day, it's not possible. It's not possible. You cannot go through a day without being defiled. I would even say if you're in a coma, your mind's still working. There's defilement there. I just don't believe you can go through a day without contacting defilement. So we're dirty. We're stubborn. Sheep are stubborn. Sheep are needy. We're all those things. So who God is and who we are speaks of the wonder of this act. Thou preparest for me. The verb preparest, again, is present tense. It's ongoing. He's always preparing a table for me. Now, the table he prepares for me may not be the same table he prepares for you. I don't believe this is just a general table where all the sheep can come. I believe he personally prepares a table for me in my given situation, for you in your given situation. So it's present tense, it's ongoing. It means he makes ready. If you're preparing something, you're making ready. So he makes ready a table for us. Now, as you make ready something, do you not do so with thought? You don't just throw it out there. Prepare us, you make ready, there's thought that goes into it. It means to put together. He puts together a table for me. It means he arranges. He arranges a table before me. And again, this is God's act on our behalf. So that makes it automatic grace, mercy, goodness. But thou preparest. That means there's forethought that goes into this. You prepare a meal for somebody. There's forethought that goes into that. There's care. There's care that goes into that. Again, you don't just throw something together haphazard. There's love. When God, thou preparest for me, that's got to be love. It's God's love for us. There's wisdom. There's wisdom. If you are having somebody over for a meal, you prepare a meal, and you know they're allergic to olive oil, deathly allergic, do you use olive oil? No, you don't. Because you have wisdom. I'm not going to do that. You're not going to purposely prepare something to harm them. And the Lord doesn't either. The Lord doesn't either. He uses wisdom. And he knows everything that we need. We don't. He does. He knows when we need it. He knows how much we need. And in his wisdom, he prepares a table. So let's look at this table that he prepares. Thou preparest a table before me. Thou preparest a table before me. What does that table speak of? Again, you prepare a meal for somebody that's going to come over. You sit around the table. What does that speak of? Well, it speaks of hospitality. Someone prepares a table for you, that's hospitality. There's no getting around that. That's hospitality, which conveys the idea of friendliness. So, God prepares a table before me. Now, if it's before me, it's accessible to me. That's always so also. But when God prepares a table for me, it's God showing an act of hospitality toward us. That's amazing. That God, there we are, wandering off in our foolishness, but if we open our eyes, there's a table. God in our foolishness shows us an act of hospitality, an act of friendliness. Hospitality is reception. If you prepare a meal for somebody, you've not only prepared that meal, but you also receive them into your house. That's part of hospitality. There's a reception. You don't receive just anybody in your house. The Lord prepares a table for us. That means He receives us. Again, that's amazing. That God would receive us. But it's even more than that. He not only receives us, He welcomes us. I mean, you can receive somebody in your house and not necessarily welcome them. I mean, there is a difference. So it's a welcoming. And what I mean by that is He's glad to receive us. He's glad. It's generosity. Thou preparest a table before me. Generosity. Anytime someone prepares a table for you, that's generosity. They're being generous. They are sharing. They are sharing what they have with you. God shares with us what He has, but most of all, He shares with us Himself. And that's what someone does if they have you over and they prepare a table for you. They have received you into their house. They have welcomed you. They are showing generosity by sharing what they have. But they're also sharing themselves because they're sharing the most valuable gift, and that's time. So this is a wonderful statement. Thou preparest a table before me. And again, what makes it so wonderful, beyond words, is thou and me. Those two words, thou and me. You and I, we have our friends over, loved ones. The Lord, everyone He has a table spread for, at one time was an enemy. Every one of us at one time was an enemy. So a prepared table speaks of the fact that God is willing and God is ready to receive us. Is there ever a time that's not so? I think that's always so. He doesn't receive us on our terms. He receives us on His terms. But He's willing and ready. And He has set the terms. Just like, once again, you ask someone to come to your house for a meal, you usually don't say, well, just come anytime. Whenever during the day, it doesn't matter. Well, it usually does matter. And so you give them a time. You've set some terms. What if they come 6 hours before that? Well, you're probably still going to receive them, but that's you're not going to enjoy it as much, I guarantee you that. You set the terms, and they come. The Lord sets the terms, and we come. But He's ready and He's willing. Now notice In Genesis chapter 7, just along the fact of he's ready and willing to receive us. In verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark." He didn't say go. He said come, implying that he's already there. Implying that he is ready and willing to receive Noah and his family into the ark. Big difference between come and go. The Lord tells us, come, let's go. But come is coming to himself. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, Isaiah 1, verse 18. This, to me, is an amazing verse. The Lord has drawn a picture here in Isaiah 1, the horrible condition that the children of Israel are in. He instructs them in verse 16 and 17. To wash, to put away, to cease to do evil, to learn to do well. Those are good words of advice. But then in verse 18, he says, come now. Come now. It's not come whenever you feel like it. It's come now. And then what he says is what's really amazing to me, and let us reason together. Do you realize that our reason has no impact whatsoever upon God? Thankfully. But yet the Lord is so tender toward us, and he knows that our reasoning is usually foolishness. He says, come, let us reason together. He says, I'll listen to what you say. I'll listen to your foolishness. That's love. That God would invite me to come, and he basically says, I'll listen to your foolishness for a while. And then he fixes us. That's what the Lord does. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye. Buy, that is obtain. You have no money, but come and you can obtain. Come, buy, obtain wine and milk without money, without price. He simply says, come. Someone asks you over to their house, the kind response is always, well, is there anything I can bring? And people will say, no, just bring yourself. And that's what the Lord is saying. He says, you don't need to bring anything. You don't need to bring money. Just come. Just come and obtain. Then lastly, in Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 11, very familiar verse of Scripture. Christ is speaking. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there it is again. Come. He's ready. He's willing. Anybody that tells us to come, that means they're ready and they're willing to receive us. He says, take. You cannot take until you come. The Lord does not prepare a table before us and then sit you down at that table and say, now don't touch anything. You just look at it. No, he says, take. Come, take. That's what the Lord does. Just like if you have someone over at your house, you don't tell them to sit at your table and leave the food alone. You say, come, take. Take my yoke upon you learn of me. And as we sit around this table with the Lord, we learn of Him. And that, of course, helps us get through the valley of the shadow of death. So there is great comfort in the Lord's hospitality. And the Lord, I believe, is willing to show His people every single day great hospitality. Thou preparest a table before me. Again, that is a very personal thing that God has done for me. A table, a specific table for me. And next week we'll look at some of the things that we'll find on that table that He so graciously and so mercifully and lovingly prepares for us. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord. We thank You so much that You saved our souls. We thank You, Lord, that You've continued throughout our saved life to shepherd us. And we thank You, Lord, that You make us aware that You are our shepherd. We thank You, Lord, so much that You do prepare. You have all our saved life. You've been preparing tables for us. And we thank You, Lord, that You still do that. We pray, Lord, that we would always look for the table that You have prepared for us, and that we would always hear You inviting us to that table. Lord, help us today to worship You in a way that would honor and glorify You. We do pray for the lost, that You would speak to their hearts, that You would open their hearts to salvation this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.